Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. My name is Nicholas. My website is crosstheborder.org, and you'll find an email link there to email me. And it, of course, you can look around. You can listen to some of the past Bible studies that we've done there. And I would like to hear from you. So find that email link and shoot me an email. Okay, we're in Daniel chapter 6, and of course, we're coming up on the famous Daniel in the Lion's Den story. You know, a story I always love to hear. And like I said, the modern church has relegated most of these stories to childhood storytelling time. But I think these are stories about more or less civil disobedience. You know, that's what they're about. So, but they don't really let on too much. That's why they just teach them to children. They don't want the adults to get the idea that God's law is higher than man's law, and that actually at times it may be required for you to engage in acts of civil disobedience out of obedience to our Heavenly Father and to His law, of course, because His law has been nailed to the cross. That's what they teach, which is a lie, because the law was not nailed to the cross. Now, there is, and this is the key verse, there's one verse that they use for that, where it says, "The handwriting of the ordinances that were against us were nailed to the cross." And that's from the King James Version. I don't know the exact site, but those are pretty much the exact words. And that's where they built the doctrine on, that the law is nailed to the cross. Of course, that flies in the face of an overwhelming amount of the Scripture, the New Testament, that contradicts that, being that the law was nailed to the cross. Basically what that means, where it says the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us was nailed to the cross, it means that our personal indictment, you know, the sins that we committed in our life that required us to die because we sinned, the wages of sin is death. It's a sentencing. You know, it's like if you commit a crime and the grand jury issues a warrant for your arrest, you're indicted for a crime, that's the handwriting of the ordinances that are against you. And then you go on trial and you're convicted. So now you have a conviction, and then your sentence is to be executed by the handwriting of the ordinance of the conviction that is against you. But the price has been paid by the blood of Yahshua. It was nailed to the cross, so to speak. And that's what that means. It does not mean that God's law was nailed to the cross. It does not say God's law was nailed to the cross. It says that the handwriting of the ordinance that was against us was nailed to the cross. So it takes it down to personal level. It's our personal conviction, because we're going to stand trial. We're going to be convicted, but voila, the conviction has been nailed to the cross. The price has been paid, and we're free from the power of sin and death, and that allows us to rise from the grave. And that's what the gospel is all about, because we've repented. We've chosen by faith to live a life of obedience to our Heavenly Father, looking forward to the promised redemption of our souls. So anyway, here we are. They found an occasion. They made up a law that required Daniel to break God's law. And so we're going to pick up the story here in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 9. It says, "Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem." So Daniel knew. I mean, he wasn't, you know, he knew. He made a conscious decision to continue to do as he did in times past, even though now doing it would be an act of civil disobedience. You see what's going on here? So it says Daniel knew that the writing was signed. He went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed. See, and that's what he did. And he gave thanks before his God, as he did formerly. He's not going to change his life and his, you know, his petitions because someone signed an unlawful decree. And then they were watching. They knew exactly what he would do, because they knew that Daniel was a faithful man And if they were going to find an occasion against him, they couldn't find any dig up any dirt on Daniel. So they had to make a law that they knew he would break because he answered to a higher law. So they came near and they spoke before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of the Yahudim, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. You know, that kind of slipped the king's mind, that Daniel made his petitions 3 times a day when he signed that decree, because he was more thinking about how great he was and how these guys were buttering him up to sign this thing. And then when the king heard these words, he was sore displeased with himself. It suddenly came to him, oh, what have I done? He was sore displeased with himself. You ever been sore displeased with yourself? Well, I have on at least several occasions in my life, so I know that feeling, you know, in your gut. You go, oh, no, what have I done? That's what the king is feeling. When the king heard these words, he was sore displeased with himself, and he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said to the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians, that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. See, these lawyers, and you know, if you get a clue, it's all lawyers who write all of these laws and in the government and have made all of these deceptive decrees and government agencies. They've set this whole thing up. And don't you think that Satan is in there working amongst them? Because these are ungodly men. And I often tell the story about how when I attended a corporation church here in the community where I live many years ago, and I went to this church 7 or 8 years, and then I came upon this information about the church being incorporated with the state, and I started questioning it. So I, with 2 other men from the church who were attending there with me, we went to the board and we asked them, you know, because we studied this thing out, and we said, you know, what we'd like to know is we'd like to know from the scripture the authorization that the church has for being a corporation or incorporated with the state. And, you know, the guys that were sitting on the board of elders, they were kind of dumbfounded. You know, this was all new for them. They were just looking, you know, trying to take care of their corporate business and, you know, run the business there. And they said, well, you know what? We need some time to think about this one. Why don't you come back to the next elders meeting next week or whenever it was, and we'll have an answer for you guys. Okay, so we went away and we came back to the next meeting, and their answer was, our accountant said, yeah, the accountant said, well, they didn't even crack their Bible on that one. They go, why are we a corporation? How come? And then they started talking about all the benefits of being incorporated with the state, liability and stuff like that. You know what? You know, here's what they were really saying. They're saying that, well, you know, if we get sued, then, you know, we don't trust God. So we have to, you know, cover our butts so that they don't come after us and take our houses and our cars and our stuff, because we're sure that God can't handle it. But the lawyers have a plan for us. And the CPA, the certified public accountant, who is an agent of the beast government, IRS, you know, they got a plan. So, and plus that, you know, tax deductible donations and all that stuff. And that was the spiel that they gave us. So I didn't attend there very long because I could see I was going to get nowhere. See, what happened is they were receiving benefits, and rather than lose the benefits, you know, they would recant their faith, basically, if I had to put it in terms of the Inquisition. We're going to take your benefits away. We're going to take your life away. We're going to kill you unless you recant. You know, I mean, basically, that's what it boils down to. What do you love? Do you love the Creator or the creation? And they were saying, well, we love the creation too much. We can't give it up. because, you know, we can't trust God to support the church without tax deductible donations. We can't trust God to protect us if the church is sued. So they were living a fearful life. Someone gave them a fearful scenario and they signed up. And basically that's how it works. And how did I get off on that? Well, anyway, it reminded me of that story somehow. And now you've heard it again if you haven't heard it before. And oh yes, the law of the Medes and Persian that no decree or statute may be changed. So he got that feeling. And so the king commanded. I mean, he was troubled. He stayed up all night. And then they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Because the king's going, oh man, I can't change it. It's the law of the Medes and the Persians. And, you know, I don't know why he couldn't change it, but I guess that's the law of the Medes and the Persians, and that's what they do. And it's not like Nebuchadnezzar. He could do whatever he wanted. If he made a law one day and he decided to change it the next day, that would have been fine with him. But we have a different law system going here. Okay, they brought Daniel and they cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spoke and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. So, I mean, here's a man of faith that really sticks out. And not only is he a man of faith, but other people believe in this man of faith. And they believe in the God that this man serves. And that's how transparent and how apparent Daniel's faith was. So apparent that they could decree an unrighteous decree to snare him. And they're thinking to get rid of him. Because he has a lot of enemies. And I'll tell you what, if you're going to follow the Heavenly Father truly and start repenting of all these things that separate you and all of the things that are required by the ungodly decrees of the ungodly lawyers and stuff out here that are running the governments, you're going to be hated. They're going to persecute you because they ain't going to like it. I mean, you show up and you say, well, I can't do that because that goes against the law of God. And if they're persecuted, they're going to hate you. If they're convicted, they're going to hate you because you brought conviction into their life and they don't want to change. So that's how it works, basically. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the lion's den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. And the king went into his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were there instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. So he had a pretty terrible night. You ever have one of those nights? Yes. We've all had those kind of nights where we couldn't sleep, couldn't eat, just, you know, something very, very heavy on our minds. And the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste. I mean, he ran out there. Sunlight came up and he ran out there to the den of the lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice, Daniel! And he spoke unto Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? He doesn't know whether he's going to hear something or not, but he's talking to someone who shouldn't be there. And then said Daniel to the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, and they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, I have done no hurt. And you know, here's another thing. I have done no hurt. The law of our Heavenly Father requires us to love him and to love our neighbors ourselves. And when you see the lawyers and these ungodly decrees out here that punish people who harm no one, then you know you have an unrighteous decree. When they punish you, when they make a law that can persecute you and they can throw you into prison when you have harmed no one, then you have an unrighteous law. And there's thousands of laws out there that you harm no one and they can throw you into prison for it or pick you up and stop you and do whatever they want with you because even though you have harmed no one. And, you know, that was the foundational principles of this nation. Is that, you know, everyone, all men are created equal, right? That's, you know, that's the foundational, some of the foundational language is that all men are created equal. And that if I harm no one, as long as I harm no one, No one can, it's not a crime unless I harm someone. That if I don't damage anyone in any way, that no one can do anything to me. But now we have hundreds of laws that, you know, I know, you know, that sitting here today, that somehow I'm in violation of probably dozens of laws and don't even know it because I've harmed no one. But they've decrees that make it against the law so that they can really have an occasion against anyone today if they want to. They could come and search your property, your house, or your belongings and find something wrong that goes against their laws, even though you've harmed no one. But, you know, the law of our Heavenly Father says that we shall love Him and we shall love our neighbor as ourselves. And that means that we don't harm our neighbor, we don't damage our neighbor. And if we harm or damage our neighbor, that a remedy is required. We're required to make a restitution or to make it good. That's His law. And that was the law of the land here in America and part of the founding principles. And that's why I believe in Revelation, when we get there, you'll see that the second beast that rose out of the wilderness, it had two horns like a lamb. Well, I believe that's America, because America was founded on lamb-like principles, and that's part of the principle that America was founded on. You shall love your neighbors yourself is wrapped up in the saying that all men are created equal. And if all men are created equal, that means that every man has to respect his neighbor, that no one can rule over anyone else, that we all have equal rights, and that we have to respect each other's rights. It's just another way of saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So that's one of the lamb-like principles that America was founded on. So the king was exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take up Daniel out of the lion's den. So Daniel was taken up out of the lion's den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. So, you know, that was the decree was satisfied, that whoever didn't, or whoever petitioned another God within 30 days, that he would be cast into the lion's den. Daniel was cast in, and it didn't say he couldn't be taken out, so he was taken out. So they left him in there overnight, came back, and he wasn't hurt. So the king commanded, he made another decree. Aha, look at that. He made another decree. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. Them, their children, and their wives. Ooh, very sad. And the lions had the mastery of them, and broke all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Very sad, very sad. You know, sad for their wives and children that they were married to such wicked men, really. But they got their just reward. They reaped what they sowed. They hated their neighbor, and they reaped accordingly. And you know, believe me, you know, the law of God is not something to be tangled with. If you hate your neighbor in your heart without a cause, you will pay the price for that. Maybe not in this life. Like it happens all the time, and you know, they have these prosecuting lawyers in the beast governments of men and policy enforcers who bear false witness against their neighbor and get them unjustly prosecuted and incarcerated, and some of them even on death row. And they found this out with the advent of DNA evidence, that a lot of people on death row were innocent. A lot of people in the prison were innocent of the crime because of the DNA evidence didn't match up after the fact. So once they perfected the DNA evidence, they could go back with the evidence that they had collected and still had in storage, and they exonerated a lot of people. And they found out, it's known fact now that you have policy enforcers and prosecutors out there who fabricate evidence. In other words, they break God's law by bringing a false accusation. They bear false witness against their neighbor. That's the one of God's law. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And these people, you know, they will suffer like these guys that were cast in the den of lions. And apparently because every man, you know, and here's the law of coverture comes in here too, that your wives and your children are under your coverture, and it's sad for them. You should fear. If you love your children, you should fear God. You know, if you love your children, you'll obey his commandments. And I say that quite a bit. If you love God, because he said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. Yahshua said that. He said, not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only, he says, only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. You know, does that sound like the law is nailed to the cross? Because what's the will of the Father? Well, he wrote it in a book for us, and it's his law. But he says, not everyone who calls me Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. So if you love your children, if you love your wife, and you love your children and your grandchildren, here's what you should do. Obey his commandments. If you love them, obey his commandments. Because keeping his commandments is love. That's, you know, it's love defined as keeping his commandments. If you love God, if you really love God, then in your heart you're going to want to do the things that please him. And how do you find out what pleases him? Well, Yahshua, Jesus, told us. He said, upon these two hang the law and the prophets. So where are you going to find it? In his word. And when he said the law and the prophets, he was talking about the five books of Moses and the prophets, because they didn't have the New Testament then. He said, what are the two things? Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And basically what he's saying is that was the reason that the law and the prophets was given, to teach us how to love God and how to love our neighbors ourselves. So if you love your children, you love your grandchildren, you love your wives out there, men, then obey his commandments. And do it because you want to please him, then it's right. You don't do it so that he'll owe you salvation, because that's a faith, that's works-based faith, righteousness. And it, you don't earn it by works, but you do the works because you love him, and that proves your faith. Because if you're truly repentant, you're going to want to put off the works of darkness. You're going to want to stop doing the things that displease our Heavenly Father because you love him. And why do you love him? Because he loved you first. Because he made a way that you could escape sin and death. He loves us so much that he did that for us. He made that way. And he's looking for a people that will return that love to him. And that's why the kingdom of God is a kingdom of volunteers. He said the violent try to take it by force, but you cannot force it. You know, and that's what you have out there. You have people trying to build the kingdom of God by force in some of these other religions, like, and so many Christians are dying, or the true believers are dying for their faith these days because they won't convert to another religion, to another faith. Because they believe the word when it says, fear not him who can kill the body, but him who can cast both body and soul in hell. Well, we'll see you next time on Cross the Border.